Mario McMinn's eyes start to burn by hour 5 of staring at screens. He's a high school sophomore who has a visual impairment, but isn't blind. But when he and everyone else were forced to learn from home in 2020, it meant his whole day was looking at his iPad and computer.
Well, that was a struggle for me, because then when school was over, and then it's time to like actually do the homework that was assigned, which was also digital, my eyes were kind of fried at that point.
His vision teacher got him a tool that helped during remote learning, and he still uses today when he's back in person at school. It's a magnifying glass with a backlight around the size of a flashlight. In some classes, his vision doesn't affect him at all. But in, say, his computer science class, the magnifying glass is great for limiting strain to his eyes.
It was some form of like 3D modeling graphic. Like sometimes the print would be super small. Those kind of things don't really come in like larger print or whatever. So that definitely really helped me.
Jenna Guski was Mario's middle school vision teacher. She teaches kids who are blind or visually impaired from 3 years old all the way through eighth grade. Technology has been a game changer for her students over the past few years and during the pandemic. When it comes to intuitive accessibility, she says iPads have been a welcome change from clunky, expensive Braille or large print books that took forever to be made.
Prior to digital books, our students had to carry around these very large books that had their large print in it and or Braille, which are, you can't even carry a Braille book. There's no way to carry a Braille textbook in it all in its entirety.
Many of her students use a cane, and teaching mobility skills is crucial. One of her favorite activities was taking her students around downtown Chicago using public transportation. They went to Wrigley Field and tried cool restaurants, and all that was shut down during COVID. And that meant virtual mobility lessons like watching videos of her students practicing with their canes or working on cardinal directions.
Okay, where would you cross the street? How would you pick out landmarks in this area? So when you get to that area, oh, you know what? Here is the mailbox. I know that that means that the house I need to go to is right next door or whatever.
Guski students are back in person now, and she's in constant communication with their parents and teachers. Sometimes a parent will call about broken glasses or a teacher who handed out an assignment without enlarging the font.
She came home crying today because she couldn't see her math, or then we just do our magic and work with the teachers and make sure that we get everything done.
Back in person, they can also focus more on expanded core curriculum to help them with daily living skills like cooking. Matthew Murphy is the assistant principal of student services at Bartlett High School. He says things like cooking and intentional trips out into the community were a huge loss during the pandemic for many students. He says he feels like they did a great job finding creative solutions when moving instruction online in the early days of the pandemic, but there were challenges for students who received services.
How do we deliver physical therapy, occupational therapy? How do we deliver those services through an online platform? That is still one that we don't necessarily have a perfect answer.
A lot of times in those situations, they had to send materials to parents and try and coach them through it. Tracy King teaches elementary school students who have intellectual disabilities, many of whom are nonverbal and use wheelchairs. So much of her work involves guiding students hand over hand through writing or pressing down stamps. She sends lots of materials home, but so much of her students' school success learning online was dependent on if they had really good one-on-one parental support.
I had some parents that had 3 children, and the child in my room was their oldest, so they'd have to go back and forth between classrooms and kids. They couldn't just sit next to, you know, the student hand over hand every minute.
Back in person, safety is still King's top priority. One of her former students died of COVID, and some COVID protocols are still in place.
It is a major concern for me because a lot of them have pulmonary issues, and you know, this can turn into pneumonia.
They mask and don't share as many materials. They're also understaffed, so it takes exponentially longer to feed the students, reposition them for a new activity, or change diapers. King and her students have also embraced technology more over the past few years.
Like the interactive screens, I put more music in my circle time activities, but really the biggest difference is the time that everything takes to try to keep everyone safe.
She hopes they'll have more time for one-on-one activities and fun lessons like cooking. Last year, they got to do a whole unit on cooking, and King says her typically loud classroom went quiet. They were so focused, engaged, and happy. Mario McMinn says he thinks all students who need accommodations or any kind of support could use some patience and help as school transitions back to quote-unquote normal. I'm Peter Medlin.